Good morning. The scripture today is taken from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27, verses 32 to 36. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed a written charge against him. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross, if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain at the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading this morning. Amen.
Hey, church. It's one of those difficult times where we ponder and pause. Where we ponder and pause what it means to stop at this Good Friday. And the more I think about Good Friday this week, the more I've thought about, how can Good Friday actually be good? How can it possibly be good? We think about someone who's whipped, someone who has been beaten, someone who's been teased, someone who has been flogged, someone who has been hung on a cross, and the pain and the suffering. How can this possibly be good? For those first century followers of Jesus, how could this possibly be good? The person who they thought was the Messiah all of a sudden was dying on a cross, had been arrested, had been betrayed. How can this possibly be good? It would have been easy to say that it was a good Sunday last Sunday. A good Sunday where everyone was cheering, everyone was yelling and screaming, laying down palm branches and coats on the ground. That's good, isn't it? That's good. And how do we go from what we think is good? In fact, it could have even been great. last Sunday, we go from cheers to today, jeers of crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. How can that be good? How can it be good that the person who those first century followers of Jesus felt that was the Messiah, he had been proclaimed as King of the Jews just 5 days before. They had been waiting for all of those years. The promised Messiah had been promised from the prophets. And here he is being arrested, whipped, beaten. Is there anything good about Good Friday? Let me tell you the things that I think are good about Good Friday. You see, friends, we look through Good Friday through the lens of Easter Sunday. Good Friday is just another day where people are at the time of Passover, where people are executed in that time and place. Good Friday is just another day of execution without Easter Sunday. It is just another criminal being hung on a cross without Easter Sunday. So we look at Good Friday through the lens of a risen Jesus on Easter Sunday, and that's how we make it good. We look through the lens of a freed life. That's how we make it good. We look through the lens of a transformed life because of the power that Jesus shows, the power over sin and darkness. That's how we make it good. When he yells, "Tetelestai," it is finished, he pays the price for our sins. That's how we make it good. But if you're one of those first century Jerusalem, first century followers of Jesus in Jerusalem, today couldn't have felt anything but good. It couldn't have felt good at all. It would have felt horrid. In fact, on that first Friday, I'm sure that they all said, "This is horrible. This is the worst news ever. This is goes against everything that we thought was going to be." They had their future mapped out. We were going to have a king again. God had promised this king, and now he's arrived and he's been crucified. As 21st century Jesus followers, we could easily say that today is not a great day either if we focus just on Good Friday. But for us to focus on Good Friday, we are robbing ourselves of the freedom that is found in Easter Sunday. It is not an either-or experience. It's a both-and experience. We ask Jesus to forgive us our sins because of the price that he paid for our sins on the cross. And then we celebrate that freedom that he brings this coming Sunday. And we look forward to celebrating that together. Paul tells the church in Rome that the cost of sin is death. Have you ever been out for a meal with somebody where you are enjoying their company and you're just enjoying the meal and it's a great meal and you think to yourself, "Geez, I'm really just enjoying this time with my friends and spending time together," and you get up to pay and they've already paid the bill? The invoice for your life and the invoice for my life, for the sin that we have done, says death. It says on the bottom, death. That's how much it's going to cost us, Paul tells the church in Rome. The wages of sin, the cost of sin is death. But Jesus comes to give freedom. And he writes across that invoice, "Paid in full." Paid in full. He has paid the price for us. He has paid the price for you and for me. And when you are sitting at home this morning and you're saying, "Where's You don't understand. You don't know the list of things that I've got on the invoice of my life. You don't understand the costs, the sins that have been that I have done. You don't understand the cost that would mean. The fair thing is that I am not worthy. I don't deserve God to forgive me. I don't deserve to have my bill paid for me. I need to do that for myself. And it would be easy for us to get into this cycle of negative thinking and saying that we're not worthy. We're not worth enough for someone to pay the price. But friends, I want to tell you this morning, the price has been paid. Hallelujah. The price has been paid. The price for your sins and my sins have been paid. So when we want to know how can we possibly find anything good in Good Friday, look at this day. Look at the day that is Good Friday through the lens of a freed life, through the lens of an invoice that's paid, through the lens of a risen Jesus who has paid the price for you and for me. When we deserve to pay our own debts, Jesus pays those debts for us. That's called grace. His undeserved love and favor. This morning we sang a song, and we're going to sing it a little bit later as well by Isaac Newton, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." There's a line in there that I mentioned earlier in the service. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. For you this morning, you have an opportunity to receive grace, to receive God's grace for you. What is grace? It might be a word that you've never heard of before. You might be listening in for the very first time. Well, I want to tell you this morning that God's grace is His love, favor, forgiveness, and freedom. And He gives it to you. It's undeserved. It's a gift. And if you want to receive that this morning and you want to interact with us, then you can jump online and chat to one of the team there. Send us a message and we'd be more than happy to make contact. But for those of us that have been on the journey for quite some time, have we taken God's grace for granted? Are we still amazed by God's grace? We're going to have a song in just a moment that says, "Are you amazed?" So as that comes up on the screen, we'd invite you to ponder these words.